This week's sermon was one of the toughest to write of my career. White supremacy has once again reared its ugly head. Racism in America is the story. It's the story around the world. We're all deeply afraid of being called a racist. But racism is not something we are, it is something we do. One author described it this way: we're surrounded by racial iniquity, as visible as the law and as hidden as our private thoughts. The question for each of us is, what side of history will we stand on? A racist is someone who is supporting a racist policy by his or her action or inaction. An anti-racist is someone supporting an anti-racist policy by their actions and their words. Racists and anti-racists are like peelable name tags that are placed upon us and replaced based on what someone is doing or not doing in each moment. These are not permanent tattoos. No one becomes a racist or an anti-racist. We can only strive to be one or the other. We can knowingly strive to be a racist. We can knowingly strive to be an anti-racist. Like fighting an addiction, being an anti-racist requires persistent self-awareness, constant self-criticism, and regular self-examination. In this country, we need a radical reorientation of our national consciousness. For many years now, we have been concerned in this country and even around the globe that churches and religious institutions are less important in the lives of people. This country has drifted away from its religious foundations, and it is a pattern we see repeatedly in the scriptures. Let me share with you again some of the words from the beginning of Isaiah's prophecy. He said, "I reared up children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged. Your country lies desolate, your cities burn with fire. In your very presence, aliens devour your land. How faithful the city has become a whore. She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts." You read those words written so long ago, and it is frightening how contemporary they are today. Did the people heed his words? Just skip ahead two or three generations later, and we see the prophet Jeremiah dealing with the same kind of problems. The country had not learned. There had been little repentance, and the painful problems and corruption and lack of religious belief abound. Skip ahead a few hundred years more. The Apostle Paul speaks out about the evils of the Roman Empire. Same problems reared their ugly head. The message I have is as old as Isaiah and the other prophets and as recent as the last time that you read your Bible. Racism is a national problem. But more, It is most definitely a problem for every individual. It deals with people's hearts and our relation to the living God. America will deal with this racial injustice and find a solution to the economic disparity only if you and I do something about it. Isaiah stated it well when he said, "Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness." It's still true. This country will be raised to righteousness and justice when we as a people are more righteous than just. For so long we have looked for a Messiah to lead us out of this turmoil. The Messiah for racism and injustice is here, and we are it. Which brings us to the church's place in this crisis. I truly believe the church has failed in assuming responsibility for the problems we face. As the church, it is our duty to call this nation and its citizens to accountability. The church must condemn this plague of racism and make demands of society. This is a time the church has a bounden duty to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." The church has become too comfortable a place to be. The church can't function if we're merely a social outlet or just another social service agency. We have to call people to the considerations of God. If we do it right, there are going to be times when people are going to be uncomfortable and unhappy. To point out our apathy, to point out the racial and economic injustice, the moral and ethical shortcomings is the church's task, even when it's not popular in our nice, white, suburban churches. The church is here to help us grow spiritually in our relationship with God. And so the church needs to say to you and I that we are wrong and we had better get with it. When the church says this is the way your life should be lived, and here in Jesus Christ is the example how it can be done, and we're here to help you and walk with you, then society is improved. Then we go forth to love and serve, and we become the leaven for society to improve. That's why our job is not political or social, but individual. When we affect the life of one person to greater devotion, every area of that person's life, political, social, economic, and spiritual, is affected. And so is society. Our task is summed up in the two great statements of Jesus. We're here to use every method at our disposal to proclaim human responsibility to love God with all of our hearts and souls and minds and strength. And to go forward from that to love our neighbor just as much as we love ourselves. When you affect the spiritual outlook of a person, you affect his entire being. Since religious faith is the foundation upon which all of our living is based, that's where the problem has to be attacked, at the base. When the heart is evil, the performance is evil. When the heart is enlightened, the performance is concerned and caring. Which way our country is going to go is going to be determined by how much we're willing to involve ourselves. Involve ourselves in the processes of constructive and elevating work. If people like you and I are not assuming leadership and influential roles in our communities, then who will? And what values will be reflected? That's the way democracy works. It works only when people recognize that freedom carries with it an enormous responsibility. If that responsibility is not assumed, democracy will be usurped by an energetic few and belie its very name and concept. Our task is not to be a criticizing agency. The church's responsibility is to call individuals to account for their lives. The church must boldly proclaim the teachings of Jesus and remind us over and over and over again that our lives are responsible to God and to each other. Which way is our country going to go? She's going to go the direction that her people are going. She's going to reflect the values that each of us reflect. In this country, we treasure phrases like, all men are created equal. And we pledge liberty and justice for all. If those are indeed reflective of our values, then we must repent. I close with the words from the book of 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, from a world of anger and turmoil, we come seeking your presence. As you have brought out of captivity the children of Israel and gave sight to those who were blind, so make us to know your presence among us now. Touch us with your Spirit, Lord, that we may see you with the eyes of faith. Lord, we know there are so many times when we have fallen short of your will. Times when we've been selfish, unforgiving, apathetic. At the same time, we've also, Lord, been people who offer to you our love and our praise. And we are troubled that we're so full of inconsistencies, that we don't love you first, all of the time. We thank you for the healing power of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who sees in each of us the need for forgiveness and wholeness. Help us to see the divisions that separate your people. Teach us to look beyond barriers and foster unity among all people, regardless of our station or place. We pray this day, Lord, for those who are in special need, those who still feel the pain of death within their hearts. We pray for our nation, Lord, that peace and justice might prevail. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.